Blog Talk Radio.
This is Marty Oakley of the P2P Gazette Online, and this is TS Radio. Our show this evening is Exposing Medical Predators with Carly Walden. Before we get started this evening, I need to tell you all that we are not attorneys. We do not give legal advice and cannot give legal advice. The content of our shows is presented by our guests, and it doesn't mean that we support or defend those or that we in any way reject them. It is simply their statements. So with that, please let me introduce to you our new host, Carly Simon. Take it away, Carly.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate that, Marty. Yes, welcome to Victims and Whistleblowers, you guys. I'm very excited to have this show. We have a lot of content that we're going to cover and a lot of life-saving information for you. First thing I wanted to get to is my guest tonight was going to be Vicki Travis. And she is with Hospice Patients Alliance as well as KaiserPapers.org. And she was fell under the weather. And she's so all of us from TS Radio are sending our prayers and thoughts to you, Vicki. I know you're listening, so we pray that you get well soon. So I just wanted to acknowledge her. And with that being said, tonight's guest is Miss Lucy Karen Clay. Now, I'm going to give a little bit of background on Lucy. Miss Lucy, she is an educator, a mentor, and an advocate for life. She is a founder and owner of Expressways to Learning. That's an organization that champions children and adults who learn differently. She also has the Simplicity Project Wellness Initiative, which is that embraces life and also advocates for those who are facing end of life decisions. That's very important. This also marked the conception of her landmark book, which is called Betrothed. Lucy is available. This is very important, you guys. This is really good. She's available for speaking engagements that are related to education and pro-life initiatives. For more information about these issues, and she has paintings and note cards and gifts, you can visit www.thesimplicityproject.org. So with a little bit of background on Lucy, I wanted to welcome you, Lucy. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you for being on tonight. I also wanted to mention, I forgot, Lucy, she's got, she's an author and a speaker, so she does have 3 books, and there is a link to that is listed in the promo for this show, you guys, and it's called Charlotte Lives. Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow. That's her first book. The second book is Simplicity, and that's Stories of His Love. And then the third book is Betrothed, Committed to Love, Light, and Life. Okay, so with all of that being started, I wanted you to begin, Lucy, by telling our audience how you were introduced to self-euthanasia.
Wow.
Well, yeah. Carly,
yes.
I know.
You know, Carly, this is something that, you know, I think we can all be going about our lives and being grateful for every day. And certainly sometimes when people go through different disappointments or challenges, we can see them, and we can, and maybe look into their eyes, and we can see hurt and pain, but maybe not really feel empathy. We can sympathize with them, but not really empathize because we haven't been there yet.
Right. That's very important.
But,
haven't been there yet.
That's right. On this side of heaven, the Lord tells us that, we won't always, he says that I will never leave you or forsake you. That is what is true. And so what happened was I was going through the most beautiful time in my life. And it seems as though suddenly everything changed. It changed just suddenly. And when that happened, and when that happened, it was as if nothing could stop it. It was as once the you got on this train, you couldn't stop it. And that's what we call the hospice Holocaust train is what it was. It was a Holocaust of another kind. And it was an invisible Holocaust is what it was. And it came in as an angel of light. And it was as if everything was fine one day, and everything changed. And so I think while there are many good and noble services and people in the medical profession, just like in education, I've been in education my entire life. It's in any profession. There are so many people that work to their very best, but yet there's sometimes a different side too, and that we just have to be sensitive and aware, and that's what. So that's the end goal today, I believe, Carly, is that if we can help others to just become aware of what's
that's
taking
right.
place on the front end, and then build up protection so that we can learn how to protect our loved ones. And so the book goes into more
detail. I'm glad that you brought up that
happened,
word because I don't mean to
interrupt
you at all, but you had mentioned the Protective Medical Decisions document. Now, this is a very important document. Can you explain to me and to our audience what that is?
Yes. So what happened was, in my book, there's one book, Simplicity, Stories of His Love. I'll back up that just a little bit because we're approaching Valentine's Day and certainly I think if we can have the foundation of who is our first love, really, who is never going to leave us or forsake us. I think that's first and foremost, because then we can face, whatever happens, we can face tomorrow. But then this document is something that we were not aware of. And what it is, I think most people have heard of a living will, and we think, that's what everyone needs. Well, I've learned the history of the living will, and it has been eye-opening. And I know that you have worked closely with Ron Pantzer, who's you've maybe gone into a little more detail on some of his shows and have his YouTube clips on his page. But Ron goes into great detail of the history of the living will, but this document protects individuals from forced euthanasia. So what it does is it protects you and your loved ones, and it allows you to be in charge of the decisions for your life, because unfortunately what's happened with healthcare is that everything's changed. And so what we thought was the Hippocratic Oath, and things are just not what they used to be. So basically, it allows you to stay in charge, and you can trust, but you decide up front what you want, and it protects you from an agency or any sort of entity from coming in and reversing your wishes at the 11th hour. Yes.
At the 11th hour, that is so powerful. I mean, that really is one of the most powerful documents that people can have. you know, nowadays, like you mentioned, our healthcare is in crisis, and we have to protect ourselves. And so we're going to upload that document to – I'm working to get together a place where it's readily available for our, you know, for people to get really easily, along with the hospice revocation that I had mentioned in my on my first show with Marty Oakley. And we're going to post this in the Hidden Realities of Hospice group. That's my group, and as well as Water for Life Project, so people can get their hands on that document. I just wanted to add that in there really quickly. I'm sorry.
Yes,
but go
it
ahead.
Is. It's just loaded on the Water for Life Facebook page, and it can be ordered there. And then it cannot be ordered by just calling the number for Patients' Rights Alliance. It was designed by attorney Rita Marker, and you can read all about her. She's the executive director for Patients' Rights Alliance. So it can either be ordered by calling the number, or it can be shipped to you by the number on the Water for Life Facebook page.
Oh, that's wonderful. So this is a free document that if you go to Patients' Rights Alliance, that you can download it and just basically print it off?
No, you cannot download it and print it off. They will send it to you from there and they ask for information because it's different from state to state. That's why you can't just download that document. But then there is a consultation and service that comes with it if you go to the Water for Life page. Yeah, because it's like a it's a pretty in-depth document, but it is saving lives, and the donation is not that much. I think they ask for like a $15 donation if you call the number. But we're providing to go along with it. So you can, whatever's easier for you, but we are trying to let people know it's available because we believe that the main character in the book, Betrothed, committed to love, light, and life. This is the love of my life, who entered heaven several years ago and prematurely. And most authorities believe if he had this document, most authorities believe he would still be alive today.
Right, and that's what makes this so powerful.
It is powerful. That's right.
So people need to get this in their possession. They need to get this in their possession, you know. And so this overrides, just so I'm clear, this overrides the living will. This,
yes,
they will make. Okay. So this way you can make your decisions and make it very clear that you know, are not to be, you know, for example, if you want to live, you know, this will be clear on that. Do not, you know, the DNRs do not, they can, you know, don't ever put a DNR on me or anything like that, correct?
That's right. Or even let's just say if you have someone who is going into an assisted living facility or a rehab facility, and many times they're encouraged to go ahead if they're past a certain age to fill out a DNR. And if they were to fall going to the restroom, well, you know, they're in trouble because they're going to have the red dot on the door. And they're not going to receive any help. And it's a faster turnover for the assisted living facility. And people that run the facilities many times aren't even really aware of this. And so it's not like they're just out to hurt people, but it's a system that we're in. And so it's important that people really understand how it works. And so, you know, if you have someone who's relatively healthy and they're just going to a rehab facility to get better and they you know, want to live, then of course, you know, the whole deal about having their ribs being crushed if they get have a if they're giving Carly, help me.
If they're giving, you're talking about if they're giving
CPR. If they're given CPR,
If they're given CPR,
they're not going to be crushed, and that's kind of what they're taught to say, but that's not always the case. And so,
no, basically, I'm
going to
help you out big time here with the DNR. People think that that is all that the DNR is associated with is, you know, is that the do not resuscitate is would be in that case, you know. But really, if you have a DNR, they're not going to do anything. If you've entered a hospital and you, you know, got some contracted a serious illness like Clostridium difficile or something like that, they're not going to do anything at all to help to prolong your life. So that there's a big misconception. You know, people are confused about what a DNR really is. And so, you know, that's, I think that's important that we brought that up. That's kind of what you're trying to say.
Yes, and so it's just important that you really understand what your loved one wants, you know. So if they want to, if they're just trying to get better and rehabilitate from a hip replacement, of course they want CPR. You see what I mean?
Right.
So
right.
Those kinds of things just need to be discussed. So anyway, but that's not what we're all here to talk about today, but that's a big part of it.
Right, it is. And so going back, you know, to the love of your life, you know, Jacob, can you just tell our audience, you know, once again, the invisible Holocaust is in Southeast Asia because it happens so quickly. It's what they're doing, they're killing our loved ones so quickly right in front of us that many people do not recognize that their loved one is being put into an eternal sedation with lethal drug cocktails. So can you explain to us how you what you witnessed, basically?
Yes,
with Jacob, please.
Yes, I can. What happened in our situation was that at the time, he was experiencing symptoms that he had been dealing with for 25 years. And these symptoms had been at bay for a long time. And they started to come back just a little bit. And at the time, in fact, you can go on the link. It's called Betrothed, Committed to Love, Light, and Life. And sometimes some of the reviews can kind of give you a little glimpse into to what the book is about. But basically, some of the symptoms, he still appeared to be very strong and healthy. I mean, most people had no idea that he was sick at all. But there was an agency in town that was promoting a new form of care. And at the time, they were calling it palliative care. And they said that they could help him get back to a healed, well, and independent life. Well, he made it very clear to them that he was not dying. He was not ready to die, but he just had some symptoms. And they said, you know, we don't think that we can enroll you because, first of all, you don't even have a physician referral. And secondly, you don't have, he didn't have a diagnosis of any kind. He did not have a terminal diagnosis. And
so that referral.
He was enrolled for full patient services of this very reputable hospice within 5 minutes. And in 30 days, he's dead. 30 days.
Oh, my God.
Now, let me just make a long story short.
Okay.
So you said hospice.
I just want to ask you one thing.
It was a hospice.
So it went from palliative, because, you know, palliative care is, they're doing the same thing that hospice is doing. So
the palliative care was offered through this hospice. And we believe what happened was one hat didn't know what the other hat was doing. Maybe that was part of it. Another part of it was that maybe there was a new administration, maybe a lot of things. But also he paid privately for a lot of things. He had great insurance, on and on and on. But here's the bottom line. I'm going to make very clear, Carly. I do not believe not one person is to blame for his life being cut short. This is a culture of death. It could not have happened if this culture of death did not was not set up in this system. But here's the thing. Once this agency came on the scene, everything changed. And because there were so many vulnerabilities in place, and because these terms like transitioning and the ABHR cream and on and on and on it goes, and these things are spelled out in the book of Betrothed, Committed to Love, Light, and Life. We have links in the book. There's an afterward section in the book, which is a wealth of information for people so that they, because we have a wellness initiative, the Simplicity Project Wellness Initiative, because Jacob is his name in the book. He lived such a, most people thought he was an athlete. He lived such a healthy life. That these links are helping people stay alive for so many different kinds of issues, yes. And so anyway, all those links are available, but also links for like the document, the Protective Medical Decisions document, along with the head nurse that came on the scene from hospice at the end. He was the head of life flight for a major medical center. And he wrote his first blog the day that Jacob entered heaven after he called me off the record. He wrote his first blog and talked about these medical major mishaps. And it's unbelievable. But he talks about what to be aware of, Carly. And it's education.
Now, are you at liberty to share what he said off record?
Yes, because it's in the book.
He said,
Lucy, I'm calling you. I'm very upset. I want you to know that things went terribly wrong with, and he's mentioned his name. He said, I am so sorry. He said, if there is anything that I can ever do, if you need me for anything, this is my cell number, and please let me know.
I guess what I'm getting to is, how did you pick up, because I want our audience to know and be able to pick up, you know, hopefully they'll, after this show and many other shows, they will never even consider hospice, but home health instead. How did you pick up on the fact that he was being euthanized? What signs, things like that.
Okay. Well, what happened was, number one, there was a dark spirit that just changed in the home as soon as they came on the screen. First of all,
You felt like, ooh, this is bad. Like, you just kind of felt like something's not right here.
Well, he had only spoken of life. Life, life, life. And the head nurse came in right on the get-go and said, you realize you're dying, don't you? She said that to him. So they began speaking words of
God. Unbelievable. She made that statement to him, say, you realize you're dying, don't you?
Yes.
Okay.
It was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Oh, that was really nice of them.
Right.
Is that part of their comfort?
And this was the head nurse. But then one of the very sweet, I don't remember if she was a volunteer or she came to give a bath one day. She walked me out, or I walked her out to her car, and she said, you realize that he has so many good days left, don't you? And I was like, what do you mean? She said, he is very strong. I said, what do you mean? I said, this nurse just, and then I told her what the other nurse said, and she was just appalled. It's like she was crushed. She couldn't even believe it. So
you're getting contradictory. you started getting contradictory statements, and you're sitting back going, okay, you're already feeling like something's wrong anyway.
Right.
Because you could tell, and then, okay, and then one person's telling you one thing, and then the other person's telling you something else. Okay. All right.
And then after all this happened, and we can jump back to the book again, but what I learned was the Washington Post did a year-long expose uncovering these similar types of deaths, and they called it stealth euthanasia. And so there's all, and they're all on my website, thesimplicityproject.org. So you can read, go to the links. And so if the Post wanted to do a story on Jacob, in the, that's his name in the book, that's his real name. And I, after a lot of prayer and consideration, decided, no, this is not, because his last commanding statement on earth was knowledge is power. And
that's
everything
right.
Everything about his life was just so powerful and spoke of love and life. And so that is his legacy, Carly, is love and light and life. And, you know, there are so many horrific stories. But I'll tell you what, I had the opportunity to hear a rabbi speak during the past several years. Jacob is a Jewish follower of Messiah. And he received Jesus, Yeshua, in 1984. And
wow, that was the year I was born. Wow.
Oh my goodness, I didn't know that. Wow.
Okay.
Oh, wow, that's something. Isn't that something? We'll have another talk on that later. Well, also, that is the year that the Lord made it very clear to me about who I was to marry. In 1984, and so
we
have from Jacob's Bible and my Bible, both in the book Betrothed. And so, anyway, it's interwoven how the Lord, you know, there are no mistakes. His timing is perfect. And so, what happened was that when all of this was going on, we knew that this was it was not of the Lord, this culture of death, but yet we also knew that I knew that it didn't end here. Because in Hebrew, what I learned from this rabbi is that they don't really have a word for this concept of tragedy. We can have tragic events, but the Lord brings about redemption. And this is what's so beautiful. And so I explain that in the book Betrothed, and you can see how the Lord has uncovered this. And so the reason, one of the reasons we've entitled it Betrothed is in the, when Jesus entered heaven, we talk about the, his last word on the cross, what he said, it is finished. And that he's referring to Kala, which means bride. And we are the bride of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the church is, the bride. And we are waiting for Jesus' return. And so there is hope. And so this much of this book is preparing. We're preparing for Jesus' return. And so as we're trying to prepare families and individuals, our loved ones, to, you know, if one life can be saved through this education and awareness, then because the enemy wants to cut life short, because what happens
is, that's where I kind of want to go back to what you were telling me, that the one nurse said, well, he's got many more days left, and then the other nurse said, well, you're dying. So
that's it.
How, you know, I really want to hone in on how you picked up on what was going on, not that it was this, you know, what you thought was a good thing for Jacob, but what you started realizing was the culture of death that you know now, because so many people don't know, just like you didn't know and I didn't know what hospice does, what some hospices do. Many are doing. And so can you kind of
you know, tell me more about that and how you kind of picked up, because that's what I relate with is picking up on what they were doing to my grandmother when they mm-hmm. when they were hastening her death and imposing mm-hmm. death on her.
Mm-hmm. Like the ABHR cream, for example, when they
uh-huh.
first came in and they said, why don't you – we thought Jacob had never – he didn't even have medication. I mean, he didn't take medication.
What
and
kind of
so,
cream is that? I'm sorry. I'm not familiar.
ABHR cream is what they call it. And it's called – it's the cocktail is what they actually call it. And
mm-hmm.
and so what it is, it's a combination of Ativan and Regalin, and they put it on, and they tell you that it's going to, and Benadryl, like, they say it's, well, not, it's not Benadryl, but they say it's like Benadryl, and it's going
mm-hmm.
to calm you down, and not mm-hmm. only that, Carly, they told me to put it on. They said it will calm you down, and as it turns out, it's pretty much customary practice to put it on everyone.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
This cream is something. So are you not hearing about the cream?
I'm not hearing about the cream. So I'm actually being educated because, what I've heard the lethal drug cocktail and what I saw in the physician order form is, you know, because they don't give, we're not giving informed consent for these hospices to give morphine and Ativan and Haldol or Seroquel, that's the lethal drug cocktails that I have been made aware of, and so many like Ron Panzer and so many people have confirmed. And what I saw on the physician order form was the Roxanol and the Ativan and the Haldol and the Seroquel. So I have not heard about this cream. So yes, please.
Yes.
Tell me what, specifically it's Ativan and what else?
Okay, it's a toxic cocktail, and
okay.
it breaks down all of your systems, especially for someone who, A, doesn't take medication, or B, think of someone who's very frail and thin. And what it is, it contains Ativan, which is, of course, anti-anxiety, and it does contain some Benadryl, which is why they can sort of say that, Haldol, which of course is an antipsychotic, and Regalin, which is
so basically
right.
This is just the lethal drug cocktail, but it's in the cream form.
Yes, but here's what happens. That's exactly right. But we were told that it would help with the adjustments that he's having to go through. And then guess
mm-hmm.
what? Some of the side effects are weakness of the arms and legs and problems with balance. Well,
uh-huh.
now, later, after the fact, that's why he was starting to fall. See, we couldn't understand why is he falling. Well, of course he's
right.
falling.
He's falling because of the drugs they're giving
setup.
Him.
It's a setup. That's right. Yeah. And so that was one thing. Another thing is that they're supposed to check. They brought in... His name was Mr. Valentine, brought in the drug. He was the drug delivery man. He brought in
mm-hmm.
the comfort kit within 1 hour of him being admitted as a full hospice patient. And keep in mind, the quiet comfort of his beautiful, simple life was totally disrupted. So this is something else that happens, you know. You think you're just going to have a support system and they're going to come in and provide, you know, massage therapists and a little extra support is the way they promoted this palliative
mm-hmm.
care. When in,
mm-hmm.
in reality, they brought in
mm-hmm.
a huge oxygen tank, which he did not need, and we got rid of very quickly. They
uh-huh.
moved in this huge bed. They moved in all these things, and it was
mm-hmm.
just so disruptive. And then... they would schedule people to come for baths and all these different things, and then they wouldn't show up. And then we found out later you have to call them first
mm-hmm.
to make sure
okay.
they're coming in. I mean, just that's a lot of logistics, which is really just a disruption. But I'm sure they're not all that way. I mean, many of them are functioning in a different way. But the bottom line was that everything was disrupted. And so then what happens is we begin speaking words of death, is what happened in our case. And then there's the comfort kit is supposed to be monitored every time they come. But the comfort kit includes morphine. It includes all of these, just the most harsh drugs you can possibly imagine, which, of course, if you're a cancer patient and you really need these things, then that's what you need. But if you're someone that's signed up for the program he was under, he never needed those. Well, from the get-go, from the very beginning, they began pushing morphine. And he did not need it or want it, Carly. And that was unbelievable. And we just were, we were shocked by this. And so we just began seeing signs. But then what we found out is because of the forms you have to sign and put on the wall and all these things, it's almost like you're locked in. Once you sign up, they tell you that you can change your mind and get rid of the service if you want to, and we found that not to be the case.
Exactly. That is huge because they do tell you, just like they told our family, that you can leave, you know, anytime you want. That is a lie. And can you expound on that a little bit more? Because there is such a misconception of what hospice is today. And we really need to wake people up. I mean, we really do. So can you explain how, in your situation, how that was not the case, how you couldn't just get rid of them?
I can, but it's almost like a step. I mean, it's really spelled out. I mean,
it's true. So many people, you know, the thing is that the hospice can actually create their own power of attorney, and this is what can happen. Now, hospice was coming to the home, but there's hospice goes everywhere. They go to nursing homes, assisted living facilities. They go to the hospital. They'll go anywhere to where you're at. Of course, they have inpatient units as well. But what can happen is they'll start, because they are killing people, and you know, if a family starts getting too inquisitive or things like that, then there a lot of times they'll hurry up and rush it up even quicker. The point is that they can create their own power of attorneys, and they can kick you out and make you, you know, you no longer have control and you no longer have power, which people, you know, don't realize that. That's how, you know, when you sign that paper to let your loved one go into a hospice, that you have literally just signed their life away. They have all their rights, everything, all of it is done. And so, you know, that's I'm glad that you brought that up. Thank you for bringing that up.
Well, and Carly, and it's spelled out exactly. I mean, like Jacob cross, I mean, he cross-examined the hospice head nurse before he ever signed up for hospice. And it is spelled out in Betrothed exactly how he did it. And it's like a courtroom scene. I mean, and if I ever change my mind, if I ever want to change any of these wishes, if I ever want to change any or all of these wishes, do I have a right to do so? Yes, yes, yes. I mean, it's all in writing. And when he wanted to do so, it didn't happen. And this took his life. And so this is what people, I believe, if they understand and will read, then I think as they begin to read the newspaper every day and begin to see that so-and-so passed away peacefully, they peacefully left.
Keyword.
Peacefully left. They peacefully. Mm-hmm. And the donations went to blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I think that so many people maybe 20 years ago had a great experience with a hospice because maybe the the volunteer was in their home for 6 months. And mm-hmm. things were so different then. I mean, you would go to the beautiful celebration of life service or the funeral service, and this hospice volunteer was sat on the same row with the family because they were with you. And it was not a forced death. They were with
right.
you, and it was pain management. But
right.
Marlee, you and I know, and we have experienced the difference between
yes.
pain management and what is called euthanasia. And
right.
when it's done secretly,
yes.
it is stealth euthanasia, and it is real, and it is happening every day, and over 300,000
mm-hmm.
people per year are murdered in hospitals and in nursing homes and in hospitals and in hospices right in their homes. And many times it's some outside person that just comes in and thinks they're doing them a favor because they've bought into this lie that they are
mm-hmm.
playing God. And they really think
That's
they're
true.
Doing them a favor. They really think, oh, you know what, they're going to be better off because I know what's best for them. And they don't
mm-hmm.
know what's best for
no.
anybody, because God and God alone determines when it's one's person's time to live or when it's
mm-hmm.
a person's time to die. And this
That's
Sunday,
right.
we're recognizing sanctity of life. And
yes.
so we all have an opportunity to live, and God determines when it's time to die.
That's right, and not some hospice or doctor or medical, you know, when they decide that someone is starting to negatively affect, you know, the budget. A lot of this is done for profit. Hospice is a business now, and so,
yes.
you know, they're making so much money. And it has nothing,
yeah.
they could care less about you or your loved one. All you are
That's
is
right.
a quick government paycheck.
That's right.
And, you know, and I'm surprised that, and not really, but, you know, you had mentioned that Jacob was private pay. That's probably why he lasted as long as he did in hospice, 30 days, because typically they can get rid of you very quickly.
Right.
And, you know, so the 30, you know, just to point that out, you know, they're going to get, you know, you're going to die. Sometimes private pay can go on a little bit longer. But anyway, I didn't mean
mm-hmm.
to interrupt you. Sorry.
No, thank you, Carly. And,
so getting
and
to the sanctity of life, that's right.
Yes. Yeah. And thank you for what you're doing and for what Hospice Patients Alliance is doing and Pro-Life Healthcare and Patients' Rights Alliance. I mean, these are groups that are truly educating people on these end-of-life issues because, you know, yes, it's money-making, but you know what has been so sad to me are people that, because they don't have a belief system, they're not grounded in any truth, really. And so
mm-hmm.
they are just kind of blown with the wind and really caught up in all of these lies. And so they just have bought into this, you know, oh, yes, this is peace, love, and transitioning. And then they wake up and they realize that they've been a part of a medical murder. And they have
That's
to
right.
live with that. They have to live with
yes.
that for the rest of their lives. And so if you're in this audience, and you think that you have been a part of this, please, please, please do not let the enemy put this guilt on you, because you know what? You didn't know it. You were not.
That's right.
Aware. And so we are only responsible for what we know, to be right.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a new day, and it's a new beginning, and everything starts now. And so I just want to make that very clear that if you have been any part of any of this and you didn't know what was going on, then you cannot feel guilty for that. You have to start over now. God is a God of grace and forgiveness. And I think that's very important to say, because too many people have been involved with things. All of us have, you know, maybe innocently. And so anyway, but it is a time for people to be informed, because this
yes,
is a statute
it
of
is
limitations.
Time. It is time for people.
Yeah.
It
once
is
somebody,
time for
once
people to be informed.
Taken, yeah, they only have a year for the statute of limitations to even, which, who really cares? I mean, to file a lawsuit. I mean, what does that mean? But that's all you even have, because it's like a rape case. I mean, people, families are in such a state of shock after it happens. So we just thank you for what you're doing and allowing people to, you know, receive information, Carly. We're so grateful.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I would do it every day after what our family went through, and we saw, you know, this is real. This is happening. They were killing my grandmother. And I, you know, we were just so blessed that she's still with us, and she's been here for 3 years, you know, later. And so we're taking God's blessing with her life, and we are going to do everything that we can to help save other lives. And that is all that this is about, is helping to save other lives, period. And, you know, so, yes, absolutely. That's a no-brainer. That's an everyday. It changed my life completely. So thank you for that. Yeah, thank you for that. But it is so important that we have this conversation. I'm glad that you mentioned to our audience, if you have gone through this, because there are so many people that have gone through this, and then they do wake up and say, oh my God, I just witnessed murder. I just saw my loved one murdered. And they do. They feel guilty. They feel, you know, ashamed. They go through a terrible everyday, you know, existence of I could have done something, and beating themselves up. And what you said, you know, I'm not responsible. You're not responsible for what you don't know. And that's
right.
Why we're making this aware, so that you don't have to ever live through the nightmares that we have lived through, and you can be more informed and make a better decision, seriously.
Yes.
Make a better decision for yourself and your loved one, and protect yourself. So, you know, now, was it this cream that ultimately took Jacob's life, or was it the combination of the comfort kit and the cream, or did you ever get like an autopsy done, which I do recommend if this has happened to you or a loved one recently, you know, get an autopsy done and get the toxicology on that. So that you can actually see what the actual cause of death was. And also get your medical records. Those are very important. Pharmacy records are important. These are very important documents to have up under your belt. What did you notice? Well, I guess, when did you, because he passed away pretty quickly.
Well, in our case, it was, in fact, one of my friends he's an attorney now, and he told me after this happened, he knew, so many people just said, what happened? You know, where is he?
Right.
They just said he died so quickly. What happened? And then when I would begin to tell him, they said, this is worse than any John Grisham novel I've ever read. I mean, you've got, this is unbelievable. I can't believe this happened, especially in Nashville, Tennessee. He was so well known. No one could stop it from happening. It was on a holiday weekend and on and on. What happened in this case is that everything was so clear cut. I mean, it was clearly a morphine overdose. And, according to the timeline of events and the calls and the drug delivery, and then the call from the hospice nurse and everything that happened. But, I mean, that's what the investigation showed. But however,
right.
I mean, only
right.
Lord knows exactly, you know, but in his case, I mean, it's pretty clear.
Clear cut
but,
that it was the morphine
but, I mean,
overdose.
It's a combination because it's a system, and you start speaking words of death, you start breaking a person's systems down with all these things, and then you start ordering extra deliveries of morphine for a person who is not even experiencing pain. And all of these things were confirmed to me later by the
mm-hmm.
head nurse, calls me, you know, 2 months later and tells me everything that happened and that he was not in pain and did not take, I mean, everything, I mean, the Lord lined it up. So
you
I had
just,
all the facts.
I mean,
everything's confirmed. And Carly, I will say this, but I just want, before I do forget, but, because people, you know, do want information. In Nashville, Tennessee, we've had a beautiful 2 days of gorgeous snow, and we have a wonderful little bookstore kind of hidden where you can get this at a good price, and it's Logos Bookstore of Nashville. So if somebody wants
okay.
to read, I like to have paper because it has gorgeous paintings. Jacob
oh.
was an artist, and he gave hundreds of paintings away. He never sold
oh,
them.
Wow,
and he
so
gave
nice.
Them away when the Lord led him, and so many of his paintings are in the book, along with another artist, Debbie King Dearman, and another artist, Amy Bornstein, and Lauren Covington, and
Sarah, oh, wow. That is so nice.
Wrote this book with me. She's the editor. So, but it's Logos Bookstore of Nashville where that they can get this. Also, it's on Amazon, and you can Kindle. It's not that expensive. I think $9. But Logos is 615-297-5388. So if anyone
okay.
happens to want, you know, to read it, and they can kind of see, because it's an unbelievable story. It's not, I mean,
wow.
it's a real story. 615-297-5388. And then
yes.
They can kind of also have the value of the afterword section and all these links and your endorsements in there.
Yeah,
too.
The links that give all of the life-saving, you know, the life-saving,
mm-hmm.
you know, information and tools that our audience can get. That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So yes, I'm just, you know, you have done so well to overcome such a horrific tragedy, and you know that really says a lot. And I want other people to be able to take what's happened to them and do the same thing. And, you know, you've done well by sharing. And I always tell people, share your story and make it, give your loved one a voice. And, you know, because they can't speak for themselves anymore what happened to them. So, you know, I just have to say, I'm very proud of you. And mm-hmm. what you've done since this, because it's horrific. It is. It's horrific,
mm-hmm.
the story. And
it,
if we can save, yeah.
Well, thank
go
you,
ahead.
Carly. And I will say thank you for that. And, you know, the one thing that's helped, there's a painting, one of Jack's paintings, it's called Step into the River. And, of course,
mm-hmm.
it's the river of life, you know. But on November the 2nd, we hosted an event, and it's on the simplicityproject.org website. And
okay.
There are a number of artists and authors and musicians. Marty and Misha Goetz were there, and State Representative Terry Lynn Weaver. But they brought their books and information. But, you know, it's music and art is so healing. And so if anyone wants to browse and look at that link on the website, it's just called Step into the River. And there's a lot of resource information, too, on that website where we
well,
even talk
wonderful.
About documents.
And, you know, I don't mean to cut you off here. I could
yeah.
go with you for a long time, and I may have to have you back on the show. But
oh,
we're getting close to the time being up. If there is anything that your last words on the, you know, for this interview to tell our audience, what would that be?
The last thing I would like to say is just that this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen. That's powerful. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And so, and with that, you know, I appreciate that. We're going to, you know, I really want people to get this document along with the hospice revocation. But also, before you ever have to go there and get there, we want to prevent that, the protective medical decisions document. So I think that's really important. Once again, you have three books that people can get that are informing people and making them aware of the invisible Holocaust, stealth euthanasia. And I just want to thank you so much. I really want to thank you so much, Lucy, for coming on this evening and sharing just a little bit. You know, it's been wonderful and so eye-opening with our audience, what you lived through.
Well,
so thank you so much.
Thank you, Carly.
Absolutely. And at that, then with that, you guys, I hope that everyone has a wonderful evening. And we will be back with more on hospice, on more with victims and whistleblowers. We have a lot more coming through. So with that, I hope everyone has a great night. And I will be back. All right. All right.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in this evening. We have had a huge, huge audience. The phone board has been full. I apologize to people who were trying to get on the phone board to listen and couldn't. The show will be available in archive.
Did we have anybody that wants to talk?
No, we didn't have any flag callers. I think everybody was too caught up in the conversation, listening, because so much information came out, especially on this protected medical directive or decisions document.
Yes.
And I want to look more into this red dot on the door thing. That scares me to death. I had one of our healthcare workers on Facebook had mentioned that what this damn cream actually was. And she said it's ABHR cream. And it is a composite of four specific medications formulated into a cream for topical application. It is made from Ativan, Benadryl, Haldol, and Reglan, like you said, Lucy. Its purpose is to subdue an otherwise agitated patient for about a half hour or so. The patient can be bathed or otherwise cared for. But it appears to me what they're doing is using it in a massive quantity that lasts a little longer than a half hour. And when they want you to apply it also, I see a plan in motion there to keep you from objecting also. This has just been
like chemically restraining her to stand up.
Under the guise of giving you comfort and care, we're going to drug you with this cream, and while we massage you, we're going to turn you into a zombie. Thank you.
Right.
It just, this is making me sick. This is absolutely making me sick.
It's disgusting. Mm-hmm.
We will be back,
it's disgusting.
Week. Carly, I'm hoping we'll be able to get a show together this next Tuesday night, judging from
the
audience here. I think you need to. This is going to be, I think.
I am here. That's why I'm doing this. And we are going to help save lives. We're going to do
it. I hope so. I hope so.
So
Murray, people didn't ask questions, or how does that work? Sometimes they do,
I think sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. A lot of times, Lucy, when the conversation is of this caliber, what happens is people become so fascinated with what's being said that they don't. Now what they'll do is email me, or they'll private message me on Facebook. But I think this is a good indicator. When we have this many listeners, which looks to be huge, that, you know, nobody wanted to intervene. They wanted the conversation to keep going because of the information coming out. This is always a good sign. So sit and wait and see what happens behind this. We've got about a minute left here. I want to remind everyone that tomorrow night is Wild Horse and Burro Radio. Debbie Coffey will be coming on, and she will be talking about the planned killing of 60,000 of our wild horses, because gosh darn it, those cattlemen just want that land. And Thursday night I'll be back with the whistleblowers, And on Friday, we'll be back with another special episode of Wild Horse and Burro Radio. There's so much happening there. They are wiping out our wild horses. We'll be back Monday night with Abolishing Probate, Tuesday night with Carly and Exposing Medical Predators. And with all of that, we'll say goodnight. And Carly, you did an excellent job, and thank you.
Thank you so much, Marty. You're awesome.
Good night, everyone.
All right. Good night. Thank you. All right. Good night.